الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. My respected brothers and elders, some days ago, a young boy, 17, 18 years of age, had asked, how do you gain the love of Allah Ta'ala? So I understood his past, quite a rocky, turbulent past. I had to explain to him in a way that he will relate. If I speak to him at a level of an adult, a fully grown person, perhaps he may not be able to grasp the concepts. So I have to come down right to his level and make him understand. The idea is he must grasp the concept. Not the beauty and the excitement of the argument, rather he must understand and fully grasp the concept. So I explain him, I don't mean to embarrass you in any way, but as you explained that you had a rocky past, a bit of a turbulent past, so you may have had an encounter with some girl in school days. Yes. So what must have happened there? You took a liking for her, and then you passed on a chappie's bubblegum, and she may have passed a chick's bubblegum. So one side there was the chewing gum, one side there was the bubble gum. And then eventually she became your begum. Right? Is it true what I'm saying? Said yes. Very ashamed of himself. Said, I don't mean to ridicule you. I don't mean to humiliate you. But it's a concept. And it is something that is not visible. It's abstract. And the most difficult thing to explain is a concept that is abstract. Something is visible, it's easy to explain. But something that is not tangible is an abstract thing, it's very, very difficult to explain it. So then I went on to explain to him, Muhabbat khud tujhe adab muhabbat sikha degi. Muhabbat is not a thing really that has to be tutored, instructed and guided. Muhabbat will teach you what is muhabbat all about. You did something and then she did something and you did something and then it one led to the other. Eventually it all locked up. All the pieces went together. So this muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala and the love of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala This muhabbat is not a thing that really we need any discussion, any explanation how to acquire it. Rather, that muhabbat itself will illustrate to you what has to be done. We talk of the higher things, but let's talk about the more simple things, the more basic things, the things that we relate to all the time. The little morsel of food that you take, and if you translate it in a different way, if you think to yourself, analyze, that it was my first encounter, I'm explaining this youngster, it was my first encounter with this girl, and then she gave me one chocolate or something, right? Then how will I relish this? How will I look at it? If one piece, one grain of that morsel perhaps fallen down, you will not kick it aside. What delicate hands have touched this? What precious hands have touched it, made it precious? So all that love will go into the chocolate, into that morsel. All that love. See? Then you will be taking it down, and with that relish, with that understanding, with that beauty, with that satisfaction. Okay, which hand, what was the hand that passed this on to me? So in the small little things, if we do analyze, then that real love, it paves the way for that real true love. This is just one morsel that you receive from the divine hand, from the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, just look at the love of Allah ta'ala and marvel that how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows His love to us in different ways. We aren't working for Him, right? He's not enjoying any of our service, not that He needs our service, right? But then when He comes to feed us, then with so much of respect and so much of love. Right? Just look at the 7-8 steps of love that He manifests whilst He feeds you. He doesn't feed you like an animal, just throw a few scraps, say, eat it and have it. Rather, the dastarkhan is laid down, and clean, nice, beautiful, attractive dastarkhan is laid. Right? And thereafter, the wife will come up and say, come and have meals, join us please. And if you are delayed a little bit looking at the paper or something, then she'll send the daughter, Abba, food is getting cold, please come. As though you are doing them a favor. You are favoring yourself, but look whose love it is. It is the love of Allah Ta'ala that is coming through these people towards you. Did we ever reflect that whose love? It is Allah Ta'ala's love. And the degree of love that He's showing you, that He's supplying you your requirements, but with izzat and muhabbat, with respect and with love. As though you're doing Him a favor. You're not doing Him a favor, you're doing yourself a favor. But look at the respect, look at the love that's behind all this. Then the dastarkhan is laid down, right? Everything is clean, the cutlery. And then if we analyze that situation, we see that what's all there in the dastarkhan, perhaps it might be from over 10 parts of the world. Cutlery maybe from China, something maybe from Germany, something maybe the rice maybe from India or Pakistan, spices maybe from some other country, right? From so many people, so many different countries, and so many people's combined effort went in you having that one morsel of food. Okay? So did we ever reflect over this? So enjoy it. Al-Muwatta Tanwi Sahib Rahmatullah speaks about Tariqa Qalandar. You don't have to do too many actions, but let it be totally infused with love. It's deeply flavored with love. Ula says that when I was leaving Makkah Mukarramah to come back to India, after spending some time the khidmat of my Sheikh Al-Hadi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, so Hadi Sahib's parting advice was, Ya Ashraf, jab pani peena ho, to zara thanda ho karke piyo. When you drink water, drink it nice and cold. Because if you're going to drink just plain normal water, you say, Bismillah, Alhamdulillah. And if it's nice, chilled, cool water, on a hot day, real hot, sweltering day, then you'll say, Bismillah, and you'll say, Alhamdulillah. And perhaps if you're from Cape Town, you'll say, Alhamdulillah. That Alhamdulillah, where is it coming from? It's coming from the heart. This is to enhance muhabbat. It is to enhance that muhabbat, to increase and grow that muhabbat. Now this is our eating. Then we had that meal, right? What was your effort in this whole equation? What was your effort only till the point of the galat? After the galat, is it any of your work that's involved? Nothing of yours. It is entirely Allah Ta'ala's. Allowing it to digest. Then converting the whole thing. Then converting it to blood, to energy, and exerting the thing. Imagine if the thing just got stuck there. We had complications. What would have happened? That it could turn to be cancerous. How many problems it could have posed for you? So Allah Ta'ala not only allowed you to enjoy it, to relish it, to convert the thing, then to exert it, to convert it into blood and energy, whose work it was. Okay. Therefore, when you have left the toilet, then you say, Ghufranak. You have a very simple, basic thing. Just to enhance and just to make us understand love. The Sahaba-i-Kiram say, radiyallahu ta'ala, see when our mashayikh speak, really it is the gist of the words of the Sahaba-i-Kiram and the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But just that we do not understand, we don't have the flavor, the texture of deen, so they say you're only talking about Buzurgana deen. In a ridiculing way, they say you're speaking about, but the Buzurgana deen have got the gist of the hadith, they have got the essence of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this is what they are passing on. Though it's in a very simple way. So you're saying to Allah Ta'ala, Ghufranak. What are you saying to Allah Ta'ala really? Allah Ta'ala, how much you have done for me? Allah Ta'ala, I don't have the ability to show gratitude to me. Allah Ta'ala, you forgive me. So much of enjoyment, so much of taste, so much of respect. So many forces combined together made possible for me to have this one morsel. So Allah Ta'ala, really, I can't accomplish, I can't show your shukr and gratitude to the level I need to show it. So, make me maaf for that. Make Allah Ta'ala forgive me for that. When we are invited somewhere, right? And it was a very good mehman, showed all the hospitality, right? All the hospitality, all the love and ikram he shown, and a very respectable person. So, when we are parting, they say, takleef maaf karma. Right? Don't we say these words? In other words, he's shown so much of love, so much of muhabbat he's shown to me, and he's went out of his way to do all what he needed, what he did. I feel very ashamed and very embarrassed that he's done so much for me, and I wasn't able to show the level of gratitude. So I said, Ghufranak. You see, that little words of dua that we recite, someone asked, you know, that why is it that in the way of our Buzurgana deen, a person becomes sahib and nisbat very swiftly, very easy. Why is it that someone becomes sahib and nisbat and he becomes sahib and nisbat very, very swiftly? Why is it? So, some of our mashayikh explained, that in the method that we follow, there is a very, very strong adherence to the sunnah. Going to the masjid, coming out of the masjid, making wuzu, completing your wuzu, performing the postures of namaz. So in everything, there is a very, very strong adherence for the sunnah. And to the extent of your adherence to the sunnah, you expedite the journey of love. The journey of love is just expedited. Allah Ta'ala just has a love for the sunnah, the way of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You do it and you see how you win the love of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So he said, Ghufranak. Then he said, Alhamdulillahi alladhi adhaba anil aza. That Allah Ta'ala exerted all that waste out of me. That could have been cancerous, could have constipated, brought problems to me, Allah Ta'ala removed it. But when you are relating, right, when we recite this duas, one friend of mine was explaining that he met Mr. Didat when he was about 75 years of age. So at that time, because his business was debating, so he pulled out one card from his top pocket and he had one verse of the Quran Sharif. And Mr. Didat explained to him that, you see, I will learn this verse of the Quran Sharif in spite of my old age. I will recite it over 300-400 times and I will learn it. But I will learn it with the explanation and with the tarjama. So the man was in that business, whatever it required, he went into that. Now this little du'as, if we just understand what we are reciting, how much of flavor will there be in that du'a? Alhamdulillah. All praise be to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Pak has done so much for me. He's done so much for me. I am short. I'm falling short. I'm really falling short. I don't have the words to thank you, Allah Ta'ala. Alhamdulillah alladhi adhaba. Therefore, it was your Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that has taught us that teach that you praise Allah Ta'ala in these words. You wouldn't have done it yourself. So you're thanking Allah Ta'ala and you're appreciating the gift of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that you couldn't have done it. So Nabi Sallam had come and he had explained to you that you thank Allah Ta'ala in these words. Alhamdulillah alladhi adhaba anil al-adha. So you're allowing your mind to run away with you. Wa'afani, and Allah Ta'ala has granted me ease. So I went on to explain this youngster that this muhabbat is not a thing that is to be taught step by step. I will come to this inshallah. But it is something that you need to build within yourself. You need to understand that when you had that first encounter, what did you do? How did you follow the steps? They speak about Majnoon. Majnoon heard that Leela was distributing Haleem. No, Ramzan time, they distribute Haleem, you see. So she said, he said, when she is distributing Haleem, why must I get left out? Joining the line was just a cover-up. But his maqsad was something else, obviously. His object was something else, but he had to join the queue. So she's filling Haleem for everybody. Number one, number two. As his turn came, she took his utensil, olden days of using sand, you know, clay. So she took the utensil and she broke it. This man jumped out of joy. Bhai, tera kya ho gaya? Waqi tu majnoon hai, pagal hai? What happened to you? So you people don't understand the language of love, you don't understand. You are his Haleem relatives. My relationship is different with him. So she is scolding me. What do you think? We just have a Haleem relationship here. Our relationship is totally different. Not a Haleem relationship. It's something else. So this relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is what it has to be announced. It has to be built up. Allah ta'ala grant us that. Sahaba kiram themselves say, when they heard the hadith, Al-mar'u ma'aman ahabba, there was nothing in Islam that brought them that amount of satisfaction as this hadith. Because they knew, in other works maybe they fell short. We didn't do it with that level of ikhlas, whatever else, right? But as far as the muhabbat of Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they had no doubt, absolutely no doubt in that respect. So it brought them the greatest level of satisfaction. Anyway, I'm just discussing with you what I spoken to someone in the morning. So this lesson that I just repeated in the morning, so let me just discuss it with you as well. And the second thing that I spoke about this morning, then I'll come to the real topic of what time Allah will express me and you. Okay. Allah speaks about Hazrat Dawood al-Islam. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا دَاوُودَ مِنَّا فَضْلًا. We have granted him a special, distinct favor. Favors Allah Pak gives to everybody, but Dawood al-Islam, we give him something distinct. Distinct outwardly and distinct within. Within was knowledge, nubuwat, etc. You can't see it, right? Outwardly, he was the king. Allah Ta'ala gave him control over the mountains, over the birds. He could communicate, understand their languages, etc. So, both ways Allah Ta'ala had granted him fadl, grace, bounty, something that was exclusive, distinct. وَأَلَنَّا لَوُ الْحَدِيدِ. Once he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at least it was his way, that at the end of the day he would disguise himself, go out of the town, and inquire from the people, how is Dawood? In other words, he's not complacent of himself. He is not complacent of himself. With all of the greatness, being a Nabi, favored, and completely distinct from the rest, but yet, it doesn't stop him to make his islah and correction. So he goes out and inquires with a disguise, changing himself, that what do you people have to speak about Dawood? So Dawud alayhi salam was a Nabi and a king, so they saw justice, they saw goodness, they saw grace all around. Wherever they turned, it was just goodness and goodness, fair play. So everybody had words of praise for Dawud alayhi salam. Allah Ta'ala sent one farishta. The farishta said to Dawud alayhi salam, when he asked, when he inquired, what do you people have to say about Dawud? He says he's good, too good he is. He is great for himself, he is great for the people. But if there was something more in him, he would be far more greater. He is great. Every Nabi is perfect. We don't believe that any Nabi had any type of deficiency. He was perfect. But if he had this additional thing, then he would have been even more great. Now Dawud alayhi salam was very enthusiastic to know, what is this? So he says, no, Dawud alayhi salam eats from the Baytul Mal, from the public treasury. If he would have only generated some own income of his, to be even greater. And eating from the public treasury is not wrong. Every government official eats from the public treasury. Why? Because the government has bought his time over. Could have been a free person. He wouldn't have been a bought person. Now he's bought, so they have to pay the price. Whether it is a government official, whether it is a judge, whether it's a magistrate, whether it's a doctor that's working in a state hospital, at any position, but you are working for the state will take care of your requirements. So now he's working for the entire state. But when he heard this from this farishta, he didn't go up into the defense. This is the salient quality of the Anbiya alayhim salam. And we need to learn this. When we are correcting ourselves, or our elders are correcting us, and we don't go to our defense. Sometimes the mystery opens up, unravels after years. We don't understand it. Immediately we don't understand. Later on, after many, many years, we understand, oh, our elders corrected us in this way. This was the reasoning behind. Immediately we couldn't grasp it. A week ago, I'll come back to this incident, inshallah. A week ago, there was someone that came from India. So, whilst he was there, so he says, now I want to explain to you about my madrasa. Came for some chanda work. Alhamdulillah, we all cooperate, we all try and help. But then he showed me a video clip. I said, Astaghfirullah, just put this away, please. I'm a respectable person, and for me then to tell him, just put it away, was a little bit difficult, but I had to tell him, I don't agree with this. He said, no, this person said, I said, why? Mufti Muhammad Shafi Saab, that was the Grand Mufti of Pakistan, he was instructed by his Ustad, Hazrat Shah Saab Rahmatullah, to write a kitab against this. So he was the Grand Mufti, and his Ustad, Hazrat Anwar Shah Kashmir Rahmat, asked him, that you write a kitab against this, photography, etc., whichever way, whether digital, whatever, but he asked him. And then, that was Pakistan. Coming back to India, it was the month of Ramadan, and there was a senior khalifa of some buzurg. I won't mention the name of the person. But he saw the spectacle in Darul Uloom Deoband. He saw the Chatta Masjid and how the sessions were carrying on. And he videoed. He said, no, this will be a means of propagating Islam. People will see this, they'll get impressed. And he videoed the whole thing. Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi heard about it. He asked him, break the whole reel. Break your whole gadget as well as the reel, break it completely. And he didn't stop at that point, but he asked him, what you do is, this sin was committed in the open, so ask for an apology, ask Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness in the open as well. But that person that was a senior sheikh, he's a buzrug now, he did not have any type of resistance. He went up to the front and said, Bhaiyo, mere se kusoor ho gaya. I have made a mistake, I have stumbled. So do forgive me. I am asking Allah's forgiveness and accept my apology. I have done this in open. The reason for doing it in open is because they saw a great personality doing it. Right? And they may go with the story that if he's done it, it is permissible. So as though he's doing it, he's endorsing for the common person. So go and make an open apology. Then I went on to say, see, the hadith, this is now, I'm talking of, one is the senior most mufti sahab in Pakistan, this is what he had to say. And this was the senior most Mufti Sahib in the whole of India. The whole India had recognized him, Al Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. Both are unanimously agreeing. Then I told him this is the first point. The second point is that I have seen in the hadith, if someone studies it, perhaps he'll come out with even more. But four occasions for which Nabi Sassam says, Ashaddul Adab, the worst punishment meted out. One is, Qatalahu Nabiyun, or Qatalahun Nabi. Either a Nabi has killed him, or he's killed a Nabi. The worst type of punishment is meted out to that person. Then the second person, the leader of some Imamu Dalalatin, a leader that leads people towards misguidance, Qadiani or Shia, whatever else. The third person is that I reviled him, I abused the person, I insulted him, but he insulted my whole family too. And the fourth person, Ashaddun Nasi Azaban, the worst punishment that is meted out, then is to that person, picture maker. Now you may debate the whole thing, but I ask you for my own information, I ask this person, you are sitting in India and you're coming back to Durban, right? And someone tells you, you know, by this item that you've got, you'll get in trouble. But the person that is telling you, is talking to you, is not a very reliable person. He's all right, but not a very reliable person. He says, you know, the penalty that you may get here in this airport, in Durban airport, may be up to 5 million or 20 years in jail. Will you have the heart to bring it across? The man is not very reliable. But I ask you, do you have the heart to do it? So I said, just for a worldly problem, you are so apprehensive. For a spiritual thing which is endorsed by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, no, he said this and he said this and he said this. It's your nafsani khaish, it's your own personal lust. But you want to use someone else just to block yourself. Is it right? Is it fair? Then I went on to tell him, see, by I don't know, modernism I don't know. And I don't subscribe to it. All these things that go towards modernity, I don't know it. Right? And I explained to him, Inamul Hassan Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, when he became the Amir of the Tabligh Jamaat, and his words were, Main to lakir ka faqir hu. By a lot of people are bringing a lot of new ideas, do this and do this, Jamaat work, do it like this, and do it like this. But his closing statement was, Main to lakir ka faqir hu. Apne buzurgo ki tarike se main to hatunga nahi. I am a slave to the ways of my elders. I will never move away from this. Although your suggestions are great, beautiful suggestions, but I'm not going to move away from this. So one way is a way that was endorsed, it was proven. And one way is being experimented. This way that was proven, it stood the challenge of time. And these new methods, we don't know, it's going to stand the challenge of time or it's going to fail. It's going to bring your problems or not, Allah Pak knows. So anyway, coming back to this verse, أَنِعْمَ السَّابِغَاتِ. So Dawud alayhi salam, when he heard this, he asked Allah Ta'ala, give me some small profession that I've got this on my plate now. On the one side, I have to administer all the affairs here. Then I have to do justice. Then I'm a Nabi, I have to propagate. And then I want to also generate an income so that I don't use the public treasury. Alanna lahu al-hadith. Allah Ta'ala softened steel for him. He could bend the steel as he wanted. Allah Pak instructed, ani'mal sabighat, that when you bend the steel and you're making the coats of mail, etc., coats of mail, armors, etc., then do it perfectly. Don't do it haphazardly, do it correctly. Waqaddir fi sarb. There's two explanations given for waqaddir fi sarb. One explanation that is given is when you make the joints and the rings for the chain armor, then see that the rings are in proportion, are balanced well. One is big, one is small. It may work, but it will not appear right. So let it be balanced. And the other meaning for waqaddir fi sard, and see that there is a balance. In other words, one is the affairs of nubuwat. You have to propagate, you have to teach, you have to impart deen. And number two is your personal ma'mulat, your own ma'mulat. It mustn't be that you say, no, my time has been consumed in the affairs related to propagation and teaching and imparting, and your own ma'mulat, your own devotional practices that you have got from the mashayikh and your seniors, you begin to neglect. Sometimes you have this type of an extremism. Sometimes you have it, a person is too caught up in his ma'mulat and he doesn't know the whole thing properly, correctly. So as a result, he is doing it correctly. Himself is doing it, but he's totally disconcerned about his wife, his children, the people that he can influence, neighbors, etc. He can do a little bit of tabligh there. A little bit of gust, a little bit he can do. Alright, he can't do it at the highest level, 4 months a year, etc. But at the low level, a little bit of gush, people that he can influence within his home, he can do, you know, in this day and time when I see the wrongs that are widespread, I feel it's like an obligation to do Besti Zivar and the Fazail Kitab every day without fail. And everybody should be doing it. Have 3-4 copies, one at home, one in the motor car and one in the workplace. Because your mind is stormed so much with information. Sometimes the internet is saying you something. Sometimes the news is saying you something. The radio is telling you something. The television is telling you something. Now that is warping and influencing your mind. And you've got nothing to repulse this. So at least at the beginning of the day and the end of the day, you are reading this Buzrug Anuddin's kitabs, upon whom everybody is unanimous. Shaykh al-Hadith Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullahi. Al-Mu'athanwi Sahib Rahmatullahi. Everybody is unanimous. Nobody disagrees. They unanimously agreed. So you're reading their kitabs, it will take you in a certain direction. So sometimes you have that he's doing ma'mulat and he's neglecting them. So he's wearing a kurta and he's dariwala, but you see his wife, someone is in jeans, someone is not correcting himself, herself. Children are not the better. And sometimes you are just doing propagation work, giving waz and bayans all the time, but you're not correcting yourself. So both are wrong. Just doing bayans and not being worried about yourself and your ma'mulat, etc., then it will be just a display of words. Hollow display of words. Because you are practicing on it yourself. So there needs to be a combination that your words also have an effect. If you are talking to others, then you are practicing it yourself. You are propagating it, then you are applying it. You are talking about ikram and akhlaq. But you have got it within yourself. Otherwise, in one week, there were 3 reported incidents, kurtawala, dariwala, and he's fighting on the street. And there are Hindus that are passing by, everybody's embarrassed about it. Now, is that how we conduct ourselves? So if there's a balance, the one side we do our ma'mulat or mashayikh, we got ta'alluq, and we do a little bit of tablighi work, then there's a balance of the both. But the Shaykh al-Hadith rahmatullahi, he complained about the same thing. He says, mujhe to isi baat ki shikayat hai, ke ye is taraf ko nahi aate jhukte, aur wo us taraf ko nahi jhukte. These people should do a little bit of this, and those people should do a little bit of that. Now it's a perfect complement. It's a complement of the both. But if you're going to take only one thing and leave out the other, either you're going to neglect yourself or your wife and children or the people that you associate with that will eventually influence you. You can't say that you will not be influenced. So this both has to go hand in glove. You do this little bit of this, relate very, very correctly, very, very honestly, purely with your seniors. So you have a direction in life. This is the direction. They will show you the direction. But do a little bit of this, because eventually you will have to interact with them. And if you didn't, then that person's daughter is coming into your house, your son is going to their house. If you're not affected, he is affected, or your daughter is affected. So when one is complementing the other, then it's a complete, it's a comprehensive job. My time is up now. But what I was getting at is, I wanted to speak to you on this verse, وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. Time is up. Some other occasion, inshallah, I get a chance of trying to explain this. किसी को वुजू की जरूरत नहीं क्या रहा है Allah says, I can speak for another 5 minutes. The Quran Sharif commands us with two commands, directs two commands towards us. One is fear Allah Ta'ala, and number two, speak straight. He didn't say speak the truth, speak straight. So when we say fear Allah Ta'ala, fearing Allah Ta'ala taqwa is the most repeated command in the entire Quran Sharif. Most repeated. Now what is the meaning of the fear of Allah Ta'ala? What is the meaning of taqwa? Very comprehensive definition. At no time must you displease Allah Ta'ala. At no given time, whether at home, whether in the business, whether wherever. Now to have a command over the entire deen at once is going to be difficult. If your eyes is right, tongue is not right. Tongue is right, then the ear is not right. The ear is right, then you got malicious feelings towards people, or you got jealousy towards people. Now, if that is also right, then you're not socializing correctly. If you're socializing correctly, then you got problems in your dealings, problems in the inheritance, in the estate. So somewhere down the line, you're not straight. Now, to have a total command over the deen is not so easy. And Allah created us so He knows that it's a little bit difficult for you to have a total command. So He'll give us some leads. Some place He says, وَالْتَنْزُرْ نَفْسُمْ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدْ. That every soul should see what it has sent for the morrow. Right? If you're going to be reflecting over death, you will think to yourself, I'll have to stand before Allah Ta'ala. There'll be no influence, there'll be no contact, nothing that's going to be supporting me, nothing on my side. It's only the deeds that's going to be on my side, nothing besides that. That's why I explain my friends that times you should go to the Qabristan regularly, nowadays regularly. And more than just sending sawab, that is also a requirement. But the more important thing at the Qabristan is, فَزُورُهَا فَإِنَّهَا تُذَكِّرُ الْآخِرَةِ. It reminds you of the Akhirah. Now you think to yourself that this man here was so influential. He had so many contacts. At a point of a finger he could make things, he could make decisions. He had so many contacts, he wasn't short of anything. Where does he lie today? So when you're going to be thinking like this, you'll be thinking and relating with reality. Eventually then it will get to you, say, I need to get my act right. And you'll get one thing right, the second thing right, the third thing right. So here Allah Ta'ala speaks about قُولُ قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. So how you will get that, you speak straight. And speaking straight has got about four elements to get that speech right. It's got four elements. One is your niyat must be right. I can tell you, you know what, you support this company here, this is a pure halal company. You must support, he's a Muslim, you must support him. Right. So outwardly, I'm giving a very good advertisement. Within, I've got a contact with him, I've got an understanding with him, that every client I bring, I'm getting 10%. So the niyat must be right, obviously. Whatever noise you are making, whatever display and advertisement, but is your niyat right? Number two is this, that you are absolutely certain of what you are saying. You're not mincing your words, no ambiguity. It's clear. You have investigated it, it's in accordance to the Sharia, etc., etc., right? Number three, the third thing that is required for straight speech is that one is your niyat must be right. Number two, it must be right what you are saying. You have verified all that, right? Number three, your approach must be right. You're talking very well, but is the approach right? There's 1 minute left now. Just trying to squeeze everything very quickly. I'm not in the habit of doing it. So approach must be right. Now to understand what is approach, right? You know, I was once making iyadat of a sick person who went for an open heart surgery, right? So one person came in and he opened up his eyes like this. What happened to you, boy? You know that man there 2 weeks ago, we had an open heart surgery and he died. Now, what's the approach right? What's the right occasion? You're going for the right purpose, but learn how to do it. Your intention is right, obviously. What you're saying is right, but is the approach and the occasion right? Allah Pak gives us tawfiq.